It's there.
See it?
Oh, okay.
No, it's not.
We're going to call to order the special meeting for the Lapine City Council. This is Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. We have Connie Breeze on the phone telephonically. We have Mike Shields, Don Greiner, Mike Harper, myself, Daniel Richard, Max Miller, our student counselor in-house. We please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. So tonight we're going to discuss the appointment of a town councilor. We do have two applications. One application is from Scott Henderson, and our other application is from Colleen Scott. Do we have any discussion on this? I guess I would start. I myself feel that I totally support social diversity on our council and equal rights across our city. And I do notice that there's only one of these applications that is filled out completely and correctly according to the requested rules on the application. That application, if you'll notice, I believe is Colleen Scott. The application states on a separate sheet, please fill out and print legibly answers to the following questions. And on a separate sheet, Colleen Scott did answer these questions. I do not have a copy of Scott Henderson. If he did do this, was there a copy of this?
Yeah.
So then there was no copy. He did not fill this out correctly. So then I would principally support the appointment of Colleen Scott to the council. Mike Shields, do you have any comments on this?
I'd say she is actually filled out. Mine's fine.
Yeah, they were out of order.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of the way I feel. I know that Scott ran for council before.
Okay. Connie Breeze, do you have any comments on this?
I don't think it would probably make as good a distance to the council. I believe.
Thank you so much. Don Greiner?
It's one of these things. I know Scott quite well, and I know Colleen quite well, and I've talked to both of them about being on the council. I've encouraged both of them to run for council, and it's kind of if and whatnot. I feel Scott that, well, he isn't here, but I feel that Scott should go ahead and run for office. I think he would make an excellent counselor. However, I feel that if he is elected for a four-year period, that will come from the community, where Colleen is someone that has a lot of work, done a lot of work for the city, and is she's really qualified. Of course, both of them are qualified. I guess what I have to say is my vote is for Colleen Scott.
Okay, thank you so much. Mike Harper? No. That's all right. Thank you so much.
It doesn't need to be.
No, it does not need to be unanimous.
Yeah, I just don't feel it's really fair.
So you're declining?
Yes.
Thank you so much. All right, so then it appears that we have one present and four yays. It appears that we're going to appoint Colleen Scott to the council, and then she'll, excuse me?
Can I make an official nomination? Let me nominate Colleen Scott to the city.
Thank you so much.
Second motion.
All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. All right, so then we'll go ahead with the appointment of Colleen Scott to the council. Thank you so much, Connie.
That would be effective April, the first April.
Yeah, our.
Are you gonna be here the next meeting?
If they don't stop interstate travel next week.
Okay. So then we're going to discuss the appointment of Melissa Bethel to budget officer.
Yeah, this is her, and with all the happenings that have been happening in the last week, we've just kind of are trying to get this taken care of. We don't know how we're gonna be doing our meetings in the future and how many we're gonna have. So it's a housekeeping, but you have to officially appoint a budget officer, and that is me. So if you can do that, we'd get that out of the way and appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we appoint Melissa Bethel as our budget manager.
Have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a first and a second for Melissa Bethel as our budget officer. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, the job doesn't pay very much, but you got it. So our next thing is we're going to discuss resolution number 2020-02, which is a resolution of the city of La Pine declaring a state of emergency in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and authorizing the city manager to take actions necessary and appropriate to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the city and the city citizens. Do we have any discussion on this, or do we have a staff report?
We do not have a staff report since this was a quick turnaround meeting. This was something that our city attorney advised we do. LOC has actually came out and surveyed all the cities yesterday, asking if they had declared a state of emergency and what were the protocols they were putting in place. I probably had 300 emails on my computer between yesterday and today, been weeding through them. 99.9% of cities are either, they have not declared, or they have, and those that have not are still shutting down, even though they haven't, and those that have are shutting down. So pretty much 99% of city halls are shutting down for the public. If you pass this resolution, that gives me authority to make changes on the fly in the event that they're happening pretty much hourly. Things are coming down from the federal government, things are coming down from the state government, and this just allows me to react proactively and make changes as we need to make them. Budgetary changes, allowing people if they need to put out, in one of the cities to put out A-frame signs that aren't allowed because they're getting to-go orders, letting them use different parking, simple things like that, all the way up to sick leave time and how we're addressing employees and if they have to leave and working from home or setting up buying electronics that we need to buy if we have to do a different kind of system for meetings. So that's what this does. I have a longer list of things we will be at this point that I think doing that I want to update you on, but I'll talk about that after you discuss this.
Does this include emergency pay for councilors and mayors?
We could talk about it.
So, all right, do we have any comments on this, Mike Shields?
I do not. I just read through that.
Doug Greiner?
I have a comment on it. I want to preface what I say by telling the two of you, in fact, all of our staff, that I have the greatest confidence in you and your abilities to do your job and the fact that you're trying to look out, especially for the cities. But I also know that I think there isn't anybody in this room that hasn't made a decision at some time or another that they made that they thought was absolutely right at the time that they made it. And in retrospect, later on, they found that those, that maybe they could have done it a little differently or came up with a little different solution. My concern is you will be authorized to make all these decisions, but you're not going to be the ones that answer the questions. The people sitting at this dais here are the ones that are going to have to answer the questions and be responsible for the decisions that you make, because you work for us. So my concern is that when you make a decision, all of us that are on the council need to know what your decision was and why you made it. And the reason for that is, when somebody out in the street says, why blankety blank did we find out that now we can't go to City Hall for some reason, or now we can't park in a certain place, because we need to know that you made the decision, the reason you made the decision, so that we can answer our constituents. And that's my concern. And other than that, I go along with it. I know that we're going to have it anyway. But I want you to be careful of the decisions that you make, and be sure that the council knows what you made and why. Thank you.
And to answer you, yes, absolutely. And part of what I have sitting here is my list of what I was going to explain to you after. I am in no way, and staff will tell you this, it's frustrating for them, I'm sure, because I am in no way a knee-jerk reactor. I have, we sat on this, and I've been watching other cities that are much larger and much smaller than us, and seeing what's coming down and how they're affected. And so this was something the attorney suggested. I don't know where it's going to be a big impact on us, but I do have some suggestions or things I would like to go over with you, and things that I think we will be implementing and the reasons behind them. Other than that, yes, you will always know what's going on. I'm not doing anything in the dark, and I definitely don't want that over me anyway. And so that is the intent.
Okay, thank you. Connie Breeze, do you have any questions or discussion on this? Okay, Mike Harper. Okay, Max Miller. Okay, so do we have a motion to accept this?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we pass resolution number 2020-2, a resolution of the City of Lapine declaring a state of emergency in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and authorize the city manager to take action appropriate to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the city. And
we have a second. Okay, we have a first and a second. We need a roll call vote on this. Mike Shields.
Aye.
Connie Breeze.
Aye.
Don Greiner.
Aye.
Mike Harper.
Aye.
Okay, so we have four ayes and no nays. Thank you so much. It passes. I think that that's pretty much everything that we were going to achieve today. Were there any staff comments that we...
Yep. So with that...
Thank you.
With that, we were going to cancel the next meeting, but we have a bid for our consultant to do the transportation SDC. We got two RFPs in. And so part of that process said that we would have five people reviewing them and scoring them, and then the council would approve them. So what we are asking, and Jake's here, what we're asking is for two council members to volunteer to help score these applicants or RFP or bid contractors, so that we can bring them back to you on the 25th. Most likely that meeting will be very quick. I don't intend to have hardly anything on it. I'm going to try to keep our meeting times minimal, our togetherness minimal. And so we do have to do that though, and approve that to keep that project kind of moving forward. So I guess we would ask if there's two people that would be willing to help score. Scoring would be myself, Jake, Public Works Director, Manager, and then Eric Huffman, our engineer. Yes, we are.
Okay, Mike Shields.
We're gonna do this all electronic, so.
Okay, you're it, Connie.
Okay, That's the first thing. So look for that. You will have a really quick meeting on the 25th. With that said, there are some obviously things we are going to start doing. We are intending to close City Hall to the public. We have already contacted the county, and the permit tech is not going to be here. I think they were going to do that anyway, but in conjunction with what we're doing, it's just better not to have that amount of traffic coming through here. We want to keep everybody safe. We are still going to maintain our employees working. We, you know, as we all know, our staff is 7 here. The public works guys are essential and can still do their work out in the field. The girls are still going to come in. They have work and office work they can do. They're still going to be answering phones. We'll still be able to take over, you know, open up water, utility billing. But that can still be paid online. It could be paid through our Dropbox, and it could be paid through mail. So services should not be interrupted. We're going to allow people to use the Express Pay, which is our billing system we go through to pay utility. They could basically bypass City Hall and actually not call us and call them directly. When they do that, it does cost the city 95 cents, I believe, per call. The city's going to eat that cost. That'll be our cost if somebody wants to just call Express Pay without calling the city first. So they can always call the city too. We'll still have that ability. We are not at this point. I'm still looking at other cities about doing any kind of waiver for utility shutoffs or late fees. Cities are still, a lot of the cities, and I believe me when I say I get 300 emails a day, it's all on this kind of stuff. So I'm waiting to see what that ramification is. I also think that it would be better for us to wait. Again, I'm talking about this knee-jerk reaction. I think we're going to see a much harder, much scarier time in the next month or two. So I'm thinking if we know this is coming, if we're watching it, we can react then and see what we need to do for our citizens. If we find that our shutoff notices go up, you know, 50% in a month, then we'll know something that it's hit and we can react that way. I think to react now would not be prudent. So that is the suggested course of action. We are going to continue to update our social media website to inform citizens of what's happening. There are all kinds of informational stuff from economic development coming down, from chambers coming down, from the government coming down. So we have a lot of information that we're pushing out. Couple of questions that are kind of painful to ask, but we need to. We have done a lot of work, and we have, the council has voted and decided to put a gas tax on the November ballot. My question is, are you still interested in doing that? And I know this might be something, since we are holding a meeting, you might want to think about it and bring it back for that March 25th meeting. But I'm going to ask the question.
You know, it's going to be very difficult to have public outreach meetings and so forth if we can't have more than 20 or 25 people there according to their new rules and regulations, and that may change. Where is that going to put us? The only thing that we'll be able to do, we're not even supposed to go out and knock on people's doors. We're supposed to be away from people, so it's going to be very difficult for us to do that.
We still have the plan to take and try and get as many easements as we can for the
community. That's the next topic.
Some point or another, if we're going around, we could easily hand them a flyer as well as hand them the easement. So.
I will tell you that Bend pulled their bond measure and Madras pulled their gas tax. That doesn't mean we have to follow suit. We have our own city, we have our own people, we have our own circumstances, but I just asked the question.
When would be the next available time that we could do that? The fall?
Yes, I would believe so. There's a midterm election that we could try to get on.
Not that
thing here is there's a lot of the people in our town that are low-income people, and they're losing their jobs right now, and if they're voting,
it really is a crystal ball thing, and it is a council decision, and it's scary. You know, it's not a fun position to be in because you're having to look and see what's going to happen in 6 months, and that's it. You know, in 6 months things could change totally around, and we don't know. We just don't know. So I asked the question only because
what is the deadline for our decision?
We need to know ASAP because we're supposed to have all the printed materials done by the end of March. And so March 25th, you know, regardless of your decision, we still have to be working on this, basically.
If we have all those materials printed, or most of them, isn't it something that could be used that we can't use?
Oh, no, it all can be used at a later date, yeah. It's not that it's for naught, it's just...
informational.
I don't imagine it going away, we just might have to look at it.
So we can put that for a decision on the March 25th agenda since we're meeting now anyway.
Let's think about it.
Okay. Second thing, update, I want to give you...
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
Connie, go ahead.
You know, I think, and I personally am in favor of putting it on. It's just going to look like everything that's going on, so...
That is correct, Connie. We have a whole different issue with the budget, so...
Concerns.
March 25th? Finley Butte, a little bit of good news. Finley Butte sidewalk, we have secured 99% of the easements, and the final easement, the person has confirmed they're going to sign, or they're talking to us.
Pretty much, so they just want to meet on site.
And then we're confident they will probably sign, and so that project will move forward. So that's our $100,000 grant to put sidewalks on Finley, so that's a good thing. We're excited about that. Design and construction docs for the Lapine Station should be ready in the next month or so. Again, depending on how the world goes, we're not sure if this will be delayed or if it will go on and everything will be fine. A lot of cities have now been talking about how these construction projects might be the only bright spot in pulling people out and, you know, for work and stuff. So we're watching that. We were going to have a ribbon cutting, groundbreaking, and we were supposed to send you all a calendar invite. We're holding off because we're not sure what's happening with that. So you'll get an invite if it goes. If it doesn't, we'll figure something else out. So concerns with the water and wastewater project. A little nervous about this project. We have to have 90% of those easements signed fairly quickly. Again, with the virus and safe distance and people and door-to-door, just want you all to know that this could be the straw that broke the back on this project, and I just want to be upfront about that. We're meeting again with the funders. We're meeting again to go over everything. We have easement letters ready to go as soon as they've approved them, but this is going to be pretty much on you guys to go out and get these signed, and we're going to send them out. We'll send them out registered mail. We'll put it on our website. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it out on the radio and the paper, but we can't hold the public open house, and so this is going to largely depend on just sheer, you know, determination and luck to get these 90% in. That's where we are with that.
And do we have to start over from ground zero, or are we just short 20%? Do we have targets?
We have to have everybody in the project. And there is one of the good things is a lot of those properties have changed hands. There's been a lot of bought and sold since it first went out. Those people know about the project. They haven't signed anything, so they probably won't understand or know that they're getting a second one and sign it. And so I think a lot of them will come in. I think a lot of people that signed before will sign again. It's just a matter of the confusion and getting the word out. So. So, Connie, did you have a question? Sounded like...
Yeah, because my understanding was that those names of council are we supposed to help with that?
Yeah, we got that changed.
Originally, we were going to make it to where it had to be notarized because we were going to acquire the permanent easement at the same time. After discussing with legal, with USDA, DEQ, the whole nine yards, it would be more prudent to acquire that permanent easement at the end of the project when we actually knew where our assets are going to be, the facilities. And they are totally fine with us acquiring a temporary construction easement that alludes to that easement becoming a permanent easement. Yes, when we have that document ready at the end, it'll need to be notarized, but this document that we're going to send out just needs a signature. But it talks about the need for a permanent easement. The original letter did not say that. That's why the original letter was not sufficient.
It doesn't count.
And the other thing, Connie, is my concern was how do we get these notarized at the end, but we can get them when we turn their water on and sewer when they come in and open their account. So I think we'll have an easier time getting those than...
When they come in to do an account, they have to sign paperwork anyways. We're going to have a part of that packet to sign that recorded easement.
That's the way.
Our funders are okay with us moving forward because they know that you usually get those permanent easements at the end of a project because you don't know where stuff's going to be until construction is completed. They just want everybody to be on board with the project and have a document signing saying, we're on board, we realize a permanent easement is needed, and we're signing a document that says that. And I provided a cover letter that explains all the documents they're going to see in that packet. Very, very simple layman terms that they understand what the update is, the reasoning for the new letter, and like, you know, like the timeline.
Okay.
And that they're getting all this for free.
Yes, that's the catch. The refinement plan, obviously we had open houses planned in April for those. Those have been canceled. I think you all got an email from Matt today. That's to be determined, to be continued. We're not sure where that's going to wind up. And then lastly, budget is starting. And so you have a packet. We'll email it out also, but you have the new the budget dates for our budget committee. One of the things that is in contrast with the president and the governor's save the 25 people is budget committees are come down from the IRS, so it's not part of that state override, I guess is how you say it, so or mandate. They still have strict rules, and their rules are you have to meet or at least allow people to ask questions during budget committee time, during live time. So somebody has to be able to be present enough at that meeting to ask a question. Now you can do it video, we can do it through Zoom or Facebook Live somehow. We're gonna have to work on that and see how we can do it. Otherwise, we're gonna have to try to accommodate holding budget meetings still. And that's something that cities right now are working out to how they do that. We'll keep you posted. It may be that we have to buy some additional equipment or figure out how to work these meetings. The other thing that's in contrast with the safe 25 or less rule or 10 less is my brain just went dead again. I'm working on all these.
The 25 buttons. Person or less rule,
yeah.
Only pertains to
right.
3 foot each. So
right.
Even if we had to use a different venue, chairs every 4 foot, we could
right.
do this,
it's,
but we just need to separate.
It's all logistics
yes.
at this point. And the fact is they don't want people together. They just don't want them gathered. I mean, it's a hard number, but it's there. The other thing is planning. Planning and community development has its own regulations. Part of the state's goals is to allow the public to attend meetings and be present at public hearings. With this new rule, it kind of makes it difficult to have a public hearing. Many of the planners in the state and approach Kate Brown and DLCD to try to see if we can waive those rules, what can happen. The other thing is, We are on state-required mandates to get applicants through the process, so they have 120 days from when they apply. Well, if you have 120 days when you apply and we can't hold a public hearing, we have a problem. And so that's something I'm watching really closely, and all the cities are trying to figure out and approach the governor's office and state and see if we can get those waived or figure out how to deal with that. So these are all things that have come down. It's like drinking from a fire hose. I will keep you posted as things happen, but that's where we are.
How is
we are sneaking in their last public hearing tonight, right after this one at 5:30. We're hoping more than 10 do not show up. We have told the applicant not to bring all his entourage, just to bring one representative, because the hearing, basically the hearing, public hearing portion is closed, so they can't talk anyway. And we're expecting to keep that number down. We're gonna sneak that in, get him on his way, and then at this point, I don't think we have any in the queue, but we'll have to play that by ear too and figure that out.
If that's approved tonight, they can go on with their construction.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I think
that this project could have some difficulties because of what's going on, just with the sense of meeting with people and keeping the ball rolling, but I've been part of this process for 4 years with these projects. Hurdles are in the way, and we seem to always prevail past them, and I think we will on this hurdle too. We've built up a really good rapport with all these funders, and I think they're gonna work with us, and that's how I look at it. I'm optimistic that it'll continue to work out.
Okay, Connie, I just have one question. Do you have any idea when it'll be okay for you to return? We just wish you the best.
Do you need toilet paper?
You know, I had to laugh because Tanzania actually.
Okay, thank you so much. So then, if that's everything, then I think we're adjourned.